to Muffin Talk. Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, the Catholic Church, interfaith dialogue, or art. Today I have invited Dr. Christopher Longhurst to a Zoom recording for a broadcast. Chris, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Kia ora, Beate. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Dr. Christopher Longhurst is a New Zealander who has spent many years abroad. He returned to Aotearoa, New Zealand after his academic studies in theology and gaining work experience in Europe and Northern Africa. In Rome, Italy, he was operatore didattico, an educational instructor for the scientific and administrative management of the Vatican Museums. And in Ifrane, in Morocco, he served as assistant professor of philosophy and religious studies at Al Akwan University. Back in New Zealand, he is a lecturer at Te Kupinga Theological College of Aotearoa, New Zealand, and actively involved in interreligious dialogue and interfaith work. A few months ago, Chris graduated from the King Abdullah bin Abdulaziz International Center for Interreligious and Intercultural Dialogue, KICED, Fellows Program in Lisbon, in Portugal. He talked about this program in our interview in March. This interview is still available on my website at www.studyjoy.nz. Chris, as I mentioned earlier, you've been working for the Vatican Museums. One of the most famous pieces of art there is the Pietà by Michelangelo. What do we know about the creation of this masterpiece?
Indeed. Thanks, Beate. It was originally commissioned by a French cardinal who was the papal ambassador, the French ambassador to Rome. And Rome at the time was the capital of the papal state. So it was commissioned by the cardinal for the French chapel in the old St. Peter's Basilica, the basilica built by Constantine in the 4th century for the cardinal's funeral piece. So it would have been an extraordinary work of art, unprecedented in its time in Rome, being a high Renaissance work of a Florentine sculptor in what was essentially an old medieval basilica, the first St. Peter's. So the Pope at the time was Rodrigo Borgia, Pope Alexander VI. So the French cardinal was commissioning it to a Florentine sculptor again for a piece in Rome. So it was a very important work for Michelangelo because he was young at the time when he got the commission. He was only 23 in 1498. He was now coming to Rome to a city that he would not have been well known in to do a work of art for a French ambassador.
How did they find Michelangelo? How did, at the age of 23, who knew about him?
Well, again, in Rome, no one would have known a lot about him, and he wouldn't have been that popular in Rome. But certainly up in Florence already, you know, he would have been well-known working in the Medici court since an early age, around 13, and also at the Florentine Academy. He would have been well-known. But the important thing about this work of art, too, is it was the catalyst that brought him back to Rome to work for the papal tomb. A few years later, in 1505, Michelangelo came back to Rome after Pope Julius II, who was now Pope, commissioned Michelangelo, having seen Pietà, to work on his own tomb. So in a sense, it was the cause of Michelangelo's career as a young artist, taking off in Rome, now being commissioned by the Pope. But this particular work of art was commissioned by a French diplomat, a cardinal, who would have been probably more associated with the state of Florence through his cultural diplomacy rather than with the papal state of Rome at the time too. So there's this politics behind its creation as well.
And why was it weird? How did they say we want to have an artist from Florence who will make a sculpture of the Pietà? Or was it something we want to have a special piece of art and Michelangelo could choose?
Well, that would have been the cardinal's prerogative to decide what the subject matter was for his funeral monument, though this is unprecedented in the sense that even though it would be fitting, one would presume, to have the topic of pietà, meaning sorrow, and especially the sorrow of a mother holding the dead body of her son, who is believed to be the son of God, and Mary to be the mother of God. So a highly spiritual work of art too, but quite fitting for a funeral monument insofar as pietà means the sorrow. Sometimes people translate pietà as pity, as mercy, but really it means, regarding the etymology of the term, it means sorrow. And the difference here, however, is that Michelangelo is bringing now a theme from Northern Europe, from Germany, and from Belgium, where the pietà was very common. He's bringing it for the first time into Italian culture. So the pietà wouldn't have been popular at the time that Michelangelo introduces it into Roman society. And we see how he's changed it too, because many of the pietas from the Northern European, German, Belgium tradition were far more sorrowful, because when you look at the emotion in the mother, she's hardly wailing at the foot of the cross, which is often how the pietà is depicted, with Mary with such anguish and sorrow in the face. You know, one could argue that Michelangelo's pietà doesn't even have emotion in the face of the mother. She's at least quite resigned, quite peaceful in a sense. So this was quite new. This was a new style of the pietà, and we're certainly not looking at a Jewish mother. We're looking at a high Renaissance Roman matron, a very strong woman that Michelangelo has used to depict the scene as well.
Chris, you mentioned that the cardinal would have given his ideas to Michelangelo regarding the artwork. How much is known about this? Is there any paperwork, or is there anything that is known of what he told Michelangelo?
Well, there's the standard of the time. There's the rules of the time, where the person who's in charge is indeed the patron who commissions the work of art. With Michelangelo, it's a little complex, but we do have, from art historical perspectives, we do have the contracts. But the contracts are very simple. The contracts are more legal documents that tell you, who is commissioning it, who the artist is, when it's being commissioned, over what period of time the work is to be completed. The most important thing historically is the contract and the patron, and not the artist. Remember, the artist can't sign their works. The works don't belong to the artist. It's not about the artist. It's about the patron at the time. So to answer your question, apart from the theme and the conversation that would take place between Michelangelo and his patron, the contract's quite simple, really.
Well, that's I think it's always important to understand that it was not an artist who decided, I want to do this and that. He had to wait or he had to get the order from somebody who commissioned him and had some specific ideas in mind.
Sure. Well, the idea would be, of course, the theme, the subject matter, but the content, what's actually in the work, to separate it from the subject matter, is what makes the work of art from an aesthetic and semiotic point of view quite different. And we can talk about that with this work. But mind you, despite what I just said, this is one work that Michelangelo did in fact sign right across the the belt that runs across the breast of the mother. Michelangelo does have a signature on there in a beautiful Latin script saying that Michelangelo Buonarroti the Florentine made this, but that wasn't part of the commission either, and he shouldn't have done that. He did that after it was completed, probably against his patron's will or knowledge even, apparently, according to the history. And there's a reason why he did that. You know, he's young, he's ambitious, and he's not known in Rome, and he's not getting the credit that he thought he deserved. Remember, this is a Michelangelo is a sculptor, and this is a monumental, monolithic piece of marble that he has carved to create not just a work of art that we're supposed to look at, but he's wanting to invite us in to participate in the event that's taking place here. And we can talk about that too, because it's not, even though she's sitting on a rock, this is certainly not a static work of art. This is a highly dynamic spiritual work of art. A work of art that we're supposed to walk around and see and participate in what's going on here.
I was just wondering, maybe because it's we are also for the people who are on the radio, we will put a picture on the of the Pietà on the website, because it's quite a special Pietà. But however, I always find it most fascinating to hear someone describing a piece of art that is then somehow created anew in your mind. So how would you, as you have seen the Pietà in reality, how would you describe Michelangelo's Pietà?
Sure. The mother is sitting on a rock, and she's not holding on to the body, despite what it seems. There's movement and there's emotion. The left hand is not touching the body. It's open, it's showing a gesture toward the audience, toward the observer, and the right hand is propping the body up. And if we could look down on this, even though we're on an image, you're kind of looking at it from a frontal view. If you look down on it, you'll see the three dimensionality of the artwork, the full visibility of it. The Christ's naked body is like it's in a serpentine form. It's like an S laid over her lap. So the body is very soft. The flesh is soft. The right hand of Mary is propping him up, almost for us to see, but she's not holding on to the body. If you follow the movement through your mind, she's letting him go. She's physically letting him go. The muscles are drawn back in a sense that the body is coming forward. She's literally giving up the body to the observer. And this is very important. And this is typical of Michelangelo, how he invites the audience in. He invites the observer in. She is literally giving us the physical body of Christ. You know, it's like a mother letting go of her baby, but in this case, her child. She's letting him go. So the body is being given to the audience. But at the same time, I mentioned before that she's a Roman matron, you know, a strong, a relatively young woman with massive folds of cloth. If you look at her dress, and you can feel that light dark contrast caused by how the marble has been extracted, to see that depth of cloth between her legs. So her legs are open. And Christ is on her lap, but all the folds of that material and the cloth down the side of Mary over onto her shoulder become the cloth of the shroud that encloses the body back into the tomb. So this is this double movement that Michelangelo has in all of his sculptors. She on one level, she's physically letting go of the body, but on another level, she's spiritually receiving back the body, as if her womb becomes the tomb where the body is being enclosed into the womb of the mother again. So Michelangelo has this double movement of letting go and receiving back. So the womb becomes the tomb. So it's a highly sacramental work of art for Michelangelo too. You know, it's directing us to his belief of the presence of God, where in the Christian tradition the audience is receiving the body of Christ.
In that time of Michelangelo, there were a lot of different Pietà in artwork. So how do you think that he came to the idea of doing it completely different, or not to show the grieving mother, but as you said, just a very strong Roman matron?
Indeed, and young too. You know, some say it's the idealization of his own mother that he didn't know. There's a very personal work of art from Michelangelo. We know this. He talked about it later in his life. Remember, he completes this at the age of around 23, 24. He lived to be 89. And there is in the art history records talk about him referring back throughout his life to this work of art as if it were the most important piece for him. So, and you know, the concept, the Odin, Freud's Odin complex regarding perhaps his relationship with his mother, so the idealization of Michelangelo's own mother. So it's both an intimate work for him, and it's certainly an intimate work for anyone who looks at it. So again, that's Michelangelo in a sense. We know that he has a lot of his own personality, a lot of his own angst, and his own faith. He's a man of a very deep faith, but also a man in conflict with church authority, and we know this throughout his history. Therefore, he is. You know, it becomes interesting to think about how much of this is conforming to whatever instruction he was given, and how much of it is his own insights, his own work. You know, she's sitting on a rock. She's sitting on a rock. And the church, the tradition of the Catholic Church has always placed that symbolism of the rock being Peter. You know, where St. Matthew's Gospel says, "On this rock I will build my church." And that's always attributed to Peter being the rock on which the church is built. But Michelangelo clearly has Mary on the rock. Therefore, she is super hunc petram edificabit ecclesiam eam. She's on this rock on which the church is built. So Michelangelo is the church, Mother Church, for us too. But again, going back to that idea of emotion, and youngness. She's simultaneously a very strong woman, and very young and refined and supple. And there's a conversation that Michelangelo had with one of his pupils that's been recorded about, you know, the historical inaccuracy of her being too young to be the mother of the man she's holding. But that's typical of Renaissance works of art, and also Michelangelo's works at all as well, because it's not supposed to be historically accurate. Again, Michelangelo is showing that this is that moment. That moment when Mary conceives Jesus and is told of the fate of her son. But the fate is that the son does not die and remain dead. But as Luke said, she ponders all these things in her heart, that her son suffers death on the cross, but is resurrected and glorified. And so, you know, this is Mary. For me, this is young Mary, the 13, 14-year-old virgin mother, a Jewish mother, who has just been given the announcement from the Archangel Gabriel that she will conceive. And now she's almost in a metaphysical way holding the dead body in her mind and in her arms now. But she's not sad, because she knows that her son will be glorified, and you know, her son is the you know, the incarnation of God. So I think, you know, Michelangelo is playing into that idea that Luke tells us in the Gospels, that she ponders all these things in her heart, because indeed the eyes are cast down, but there is this beautiful, soft, almost supple. There's no strain. There's no stress. There's no sorrow whatsoever in the face.
It's a little bit like, do unto me as you wish. You know, she gives herself to God.
Indeed. And the hand symbolizes that too. You know, the letting go, the resignment to the will of God, an extraordinary gesture in that hand there. Do unto, let fiat voluntas tua, thy will be done. And again, look at the hand though, that despite the symbolism of the letting go and the softness, it's a very strong hand. Let's be objective. It's a masculine hand. But again, the broad shoulders, I mean, Michelangelo is again playing into the idea of strength, moral strength, the strength of a mother to suffer herself the death of her, the ignominious death of her son. But look at the body of Christ. It's soft. It's almost sensuous. You can almost feel the blood having just stopped flowing through the veins there in the forearm, and the limpness of the flesh where Mary is holding it up, the intercostal and muscles there, and the abdominal muscles there. It's a very beautiful work of art too, from a physiological point of view as well. The limpness of the head of Christ lying back, the throat, the neck fully exposed.
Chris, you have seen the monument many times and you've walked around it. How is Jesus's face? Because usually we always see the perspective of Mary's face, but as you just said, Jesus's head is tilted back and we can only see his long collar, but his throat, but we can't see his face. Mm. So how does his face look like?
Hopefully at this point, Beata, you could show an image of the face too, because there are some lovely images that focus on the detail of that face. It's absolutely extraordinary because it's simultaneously idealized and natural. Michelangelo has the skin drawn back by the weight of the flesh moving over the bones. So you can almost feel the weight of the skin, which records the idea of a person who has died. You know that sense of dead weight, where the muscles are hanging in the skin. The skin is pulled across the face. But again, it's both beautiful. Idealized because of the canons of Renaissance style that Michelangelo was conforming to. You know, very idealized work of art, but also as a classical work of art because it's naturalized. You're looking at natural beauty in an idealized form, you know, and this is different from Michelangelo too. He has that capacity that makes him quite unique to simultaneously mix up categories, both aesthetic categories, spiritual categories. So you see that in the face too. Yeah,
it's really beautiful. And where is it placed? Is it placed in a big empty room, or where is the statue?
It's in the new St. Peter's Basilica, the basilica that that he helped build actually as an architect. When you enter St. Peter's Basilica, there are many lateral chapels, side chapels. So the basilica is massive. But as soon as you go in the main door, if you look to your immediate right, you'll see at the first side chapel in the north, on the right, it's called the Chapel of the Pietà. And that's where it is today. So that's what you're looking at behind it is the marble, the sections of the veneer of a marble wall inside the chapel. And it's up on an altar. You can see where the image that I'm looking at that's on the screen now is eye level on top of an altar. So on standing on the ground, you're looking up to it. Unfortunately, today it's difficult to walk around it, of course, because viewers would stand in front behind a glass screen, actually. So you don't get that. You know, that's not what Michelangelo would have wanted. Again, as we know, conforming to the canons of full visibility, and typical with Michelangelo's work, it's an event. Yeah. It's an event that he wants us to participate in.
Well, I think that so many people are visiting the place. If everybody was going around and touching maybe the sculpture that that might have been in Michelangelo's idea, but it's maybe impractical or dangerous today. Who knows? But how big is Mary? Is she life size?
She's larger than life. She is 2.5-3 times the average size of a person, so it's quite large. And the sun may seem small, but again, note that the sun is draped over her legs, so it's certainly larger than life. You're looking at a massive work of art, and as I mentioned earlier, it's a one piece. It's a one piece Carrara marble stone, so it's a monolithic work of art too.
But I think that what we'll do is we'll organize a presentation where you can show the Pietà from the different angles and explain to our audience the details that they wouldn't know if you just see the picture of the statue. If you see, or even if you go to the Vatican Museum, as you say, you can't even walk around. So I think that will be very helpful when we see some details and you have, we have some more pictures. And yes, it's a beautiful piece of art.
So this indeed is a fine work of art. It's a high Renaissance sculpture, but it's certainly much more than a work of art. And even though it is inside St. Peter's Basilica and people come to see it, even outside the context of the Basilica, it's a spiritual, sacramental, theological work of art, an aesthetic piece of theology in a sense too, because of its subject matter. I use the word sacramental, art in a way is efficacious as a sacrament. It points to what it signifies, which is the receiving of the body of Christ. In this sense, Mary becomes a priest. She is the ultimate priest, where she is both administering the sacrament and giving the body of Christ to the audience. So in a sense, it underscores the idea of salvation for the Christian too, and the reception of God, the reception of God's incarnation in Jesus today. So again, a very spiritual work of art for Michelangelo, to a very personal one for him, very intimate even for the author. So this is one of those fine opportunities where indeed art and religion come together. And I think we have to admit that when you do have that interface between art and religion, it doesn't get much better than Michelangelo's Pietà.
And thank you so much.
You're welcome, Beate. There's also a couple of resources online that you might be interested in where you can, the video resources where you can actually see the work of art as the camera moves around in full visibility.
I can put these links up on the website so that people can look at them. Thank you so much, Chris.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And so to our listeners, in September, we are planning to have two sessions on living waters. So on Monday, the 19th of September, we will look at water and living water in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, presented by Dr. Lenny Blocksberg, a member of the Jewish community. And on the 26th of September, we will look at living water in the New Testament with Brother Kieran Finn. So from a Christian perspective. So for more information and any current or past programs, please check out www.studyjoy.nz. And with that, kia kaha and keep safe. And thank you so much, Chris, for all the work you've done and for sharing your knowledge, because it's a real privilege to have you here back in New Zealand after being in the Vatican Museum, working there for some time.
Nami, the honor is mine. Thanks, Beate.
Thank you.
Out there, oh, a peace is calling. In the bonds of love we meet. For the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk.
Just